Everybody, welcome to episode 13 of the Centre Circle podcast. It's been quite unlucky for us already, a couple of disconnects, and only a couple of the hosts were able to make it along tonight. Joining me, we have Dirk Lucas.
Thank you very much for having me.
And joining us in the not in the Euros corner is David Nealon.
Well, I'm good to be back, and I'm glad that we're finally through the Euros.
This is like the worst introduction we ever had.
Really
no,
is,
we've had worse on the days where like all of us were sick. We could barely get like five words together.
I'm always sick in the good way.
Sorry, Bruce Banner. That was
so
a shit reference. We're off to a terrible start.
Can we start off by doing some Lionel Messi bashing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about.
Can we discuss his penalty?
You can discuss his penalty if he's won.
If I'm a manager and I have a player who takes a penalty like that, I'm never letting him anywhere near a penalty for the rest of his life.
Well, that was kind of the same with Hernandez. We sold him off to Leverkusen then. And now look at him. Blitzing the Bundesliga.
You have to do a decent run-up when you take a penalty.
I mean, it's all about technicals. I mean, Messi isn't one for, you know, the free kicks or penalties. He's a terrific footballer on the pitch, but I mean,
Messi could take a decent free kick.
Anyone can miss a penalty from 12 yards. I mean, Xhaka's penalty against Poland was absolutely abysmal as well.
At least he did a decent run-up.
Run-up is
irrelevant, you though. You can't take penalty from a standing position. You can't. No one can. If you take a look at penalties taken from a standing position, 90% is missed.
I mean, it's the same with the stuttering run-ups.
The stuttering run-up is fine. It's about doing it from a standing position. Messi is the only one to blame for Argentina not winning that final because of that penalty.
Higuain's miss against Chile.
Honestly, it should never have got. It shouldn't have been a close game, I'd say. Every player in that Argentina.
No, but you can't take a penalty from a standing position.
Oh yeah, he made a mistake, but the fact that that game was still in doubt by that stage is like.
Oh, I
shows
think Chile,
that the whole team.
I think Chile got one of the best teams in South America. If the World Cup would be held next year and Holland would be in it, Chile would be the only South American team I dread. Brazil got nothing but Neymar. Argentina got Messi, but, well, he's going to retire anyway. Colombia, they got a decent team, but they're not that good. I think Chile is currently the best team in South America.
I don't rate them as highly as you do. I put Argentina ahead of them, and they should be putting at least two or three by Chile.
Because apparently Argentina lacks it in the passion department.
Yeah,
that's a bit harsh now on Argentina.
That's on a manager, though. A manager has to inspire teams.
Now, obviously, Maradona
should
be.
If you're Lionel Messi, you should be able to inspire your teammates. But Messi is used to the fact that whatever he does, he'll win trophies anyway with Barcelona. And with Argentina, that's not going to happen because at Argentina, he got lesser players around him. And he can't cope with that, and that's why he's a weakling for retiring already.
I'd like to point out that's why I don't think he's the best player of all time, as opposed to Maradona, because of the whole better players around him thing.
Messi always at Barcelona has some of the best players in the world playing with him. And at Argentina, it doesn't work for him because they're lesser players, and now he's just a little whiny quitter. And I think he'll be back at the World Cup in 2 years.
I think it will be. I mean, 29 is kind of young to retire, especially in this day and age. I mean, look.
Dan Boveberg retired from football completely at 27 because he got a university degree and he wanted to focus on a social career.
Well, I mean, that's different. I mean, when you're the world's best footballer, you can't quit at the age of 29. I'm sorry, it's just...
Well, honestly, he could, and, you know, he's got that right.
You can't really quit after a major final. I mean, Copa America isn't that great a final. I mean, Argentina may have lost, like, six finals, or... How many finals have they lost in a row? Three?
Four, I thought.
Four. Messi's been in four finals now.
Yeah, but I mean, consecutively.
World Cup, Copa America, Copa America.
Yeah, so three.
It's like three finals in 3 years.
Now, obviously, you're obviously going to be pained about that, but you can't retire after just, you know, losing three finals in a row. You keep going until
you win it.
Yeah,
but you do have to realize that he's getting a lot of shit over him when he plays for Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina fans, like, they say they love him, but for the way they treat him, it's about as bad as Ronaldo gets in Portugal.
I read a story once where people from Argentina actually don't really like Messi because when he was young, he went to Europe, and so they kind of see him as a European player and not as an Argentine player. He doesn't really have a connection to one of the Argentine clubs, and that's pretty important for the national team.
Well, sure, he played for, what was it, Newell's Old Boys?
Yeah.
No, he was there for 6 years.
Until he was like 14.
If Barcelona were to offer you a job at 14, you would not turn that down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but in Argentina, it's pretty important for players to have like a connection to a first team in Argentina. Take a look at all the other players.
Yeah, but I'm just
they kind of see Messi as a European player.
So? That doesn't
a European
mean
that you style player. No, that but that's
mean...
why
that. Let other people talk for 2 seconds, please. That doesn't mean that he's any less Argentinian. Just because he's lived in Europe for longer, he still came from there, he still plays for that team, and you still treat him as one of your own.
That's why the fans like other players better.
Yeah, not saying to have him be your favourite all the time, but you don't get on his case as much as Argentina do.
I think Argentina...
It's a different country.
But we're going back to the subject about Argentina. Will they get weaker as Messi leaves the club, or leaves the country?
Yeah.
Mascherano is also retiring as well.
Mascherano.
Everyone is going to fall like flies now after this.
I think they'll miss Aguero more than they will miss Messi. And that's because the same thing what I used to say. I think Portugal is a better team without Ronaldo. And that's the same thing with Argentina and Messi. I think being one
of
the best players...
Would you say that about Pogba at France?
No, because Pogba isn't of the same level as Messi or Ronaldo.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying they play for themselves rather than the nation.
No, they're just used to, you know, claiming all the penalties, all the free kick, bringing on the pressure. There's so much pressure on them. You can see, like if you take a look at the first match of the Euros, there was a lot of pressure on Pogba, right? And then during the second match... Deschamps took him off, put him on the bench, and since then, the pressure on Pogba seems to have, you know, it seems to have been lifted off of him. And some players can handle the pressure, some players don't. And I think if you're Ronaldo, if you're Messi, and you're playing for Portugal and Argentina, teams who haven't won anything for a very long time, or haven't won anything ever at all, it brings along a lot of pressure.
The main comparison I'd say is Ronaldo as opposed to Pogba, because these are players who are called the two best players in the world, with players who are at the same caliber as them. And the fact that Ronaldo's still in the game despite arguably getting worse treatment for his home fans shows that apparently he's got more mental strength than Messi.
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah,
Messi's a bit more of an enigma on the field than, you know, outside. Whereas Ronaldo is just an arrogant twat, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, absolutely, he's a prick.
But everyone loves an arrogant twat. But, you know, you also have to think about the influence of the sponsors, because, like Messi, he plays like 50, 60 games a year, same with Ronaldo. And then they also have to play a tournament, and then the season starts again. The guys hardly get a break, and, like... Take a look at Messi, right? He played, let's start like 3 seasons ago. He played one of his best seasons he ever played with the 60 goals. Then he played another full season. Then during the summer, he played the Copa America. Then he played another full season. Then he played the World Cup, reached the final again, played another full season, and now he reaches the Copa. The guy never had a vacation for like years.
Yeah, well, he's earning 450 grand a week, so...
Even Richard Branson takes breaks.
Yeah, that's like the average working man taking, a Saturday off or a weekend off. I mean, you can't make that comparison in real life.
Yeah, I think you can.
I think it's a fair point as well, David. The guy's been put in the spotlight for, 4 years constantly with no breaks.
And he can't really be like, oh, you know what, I'm going to skip a tournament because the sponsors won't allow it. It happens. Take a look at the 98 final when Ronaldo was injured. He was in the hospital. He was on the intensive care. And Coca-Cola was like, no, he has to play the World Cup final. Guy nearly died.
Yeah, but that's fueled by passion of the nation.
No, that's not the passion of the nation. That's the sponsors telling you to play, whether you're injured or not. Like at the World Cup, Ronaldo said about the last World Cup, actually, I shouldn't have played that tournament because I was injured. No, but the sponsors made him play him.
Well, I agree to disagree, but all right.
I find myself agreeing with Derek quite a lot tonight, and it scares me. I find myself agreeing with you, and I don't like it.
That's the effect of the Brexit.
I'm getting sick of the work permit jokes already, man.
You're trying to clutch on, like, European mentality to try and stay close to the whole EU.
That's very true.
If your mentality is European, I'm assuming the rise of fascism started again.
It kind of does.
But talking about...
Take a look at the immigration now in the UK.
Don't get me started. Anyway, man of the match. Derek, since yours has apparently got a joke after it, let's...
Oh yeah, it's Marco. Well, I had two possible players. I'm managing in Costa Rica now. And during my first season, I had two players. I had a winger called Orlando Madriz, who scored 24 goals and gave 27 assists in 45 matches. But Marco Mena, my striker, he played 39 matches, scored 34 goals and 19 assists. He also became the highest ever scoring player for San Carlos, so I kind of went with him. And he's called Marco Mena. He's no relation to Maria Mena. But, he finally started scoring goals for his first time in his career. And I just, I told him during a team meeting, I told him, all this time, you've had it in you. You just needed a push. And I was scoring lots of goals, banging them in.
All right, so then, David?
I haven't been on the show for very long, so... I have been managing in a few different nations, but I think my most recent nation being in the Faroe Islands, I had to choose this guy, Ari Ellingsgaard. I signed him from IF for a free transfer for my club HB, and he absolutely killed it on his debut season. 16 goals, 10 assists in 32 matches, but he really works well. He's versatile. He can play on the left, he can play on the right. It's very well suited to the right role. I think he, in my system, I play an asymmetric tactic, and he can do one of two things: whether the left-sided winger would cross it in and he would snatch on the chance of the far post to tap it in, or either cross it in to my target man. So it's really complementing my system very well. And absolute coup. I mean, a free transfer getting me that many goals in my first season was very, 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 very good. I mean, helped me to my treble in the Faroe Islands, which I'll get to later.
Going from a free transfer all the way to one of my luxury signings that's finally starting to come good. Carlos Vela, he's just suddenly turned it on since he came back from injury at the end of last season. He was out for just under 3 months, and I think he's got like 6 assists at the end of last season in the league. I'd already won the league, but he'd got 6 assists. Then the Champions League final, he was one of the major figures, and then he single-handedly won me the European Super Cup because it was down to 10 men, and he just decided that we don't need to be 11v11 against Bayern Munich. But, yep, That's all I got. And my safe scout is that Euros squad draft that we tried to get going, but the internet and FM decided not to let us.
No, you just quit halfway through.
Actually, Chris quit halfway through first.
No, don't be blaming that on the internet now. I was top of the table going into the second half, and then you decide, fuck this, I'm out.
I was second place, so it's not exactly like I was, you know, rage quitting.
You kind of were rage quitting, though.
I rage quit at the technical difficulties, to be fair. You've got to give me that. I was wanting to play it, and then it just was not happening. Because I'm not sitting playing network support with my crappy router again for 3 hours. Because Sky refused to admit that they're not giving me the service I pay for. But
oh, well.
I'm sure David's one's going to be topical as hell.
Well, it's going to be the only save in FM17 that everyone will try, and that's the Brexit save. Easy save, really, to do is take over an English team and only sign English and Welsh players. That's pretty much all that there is to it. I mean, work permits are going to cause havoc in FM17, and, you know, it's England's fault. It's Britain's fault. I'm sorry. Democracy doesn't work these days.
Hashtag blame racism. Democracy works, but there are just things that normal people shouldn't get involved with. And this is one of those things. Leave the decisions to the people you elected, because they know, at least they know some stuff about it.
Yeah, Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but if...
Let's not go political with this now.
No, but listen, if there wasn't a referendum, just the politicians made a choice, Boris Johnson would never got into the picture. You'd still be in the EU, and people weren't pissed about on Nigel Farage for claiming they would give so much money to NHS, and now they're like, well, I didn't say it, fam.
Hey guys, shocker, the place where we put in 900 million and got back 800 million doesn't give us 350 million to spend a week. Shocker how numbers work. Anyway, who's got a good headliner?
Everyone's got a good headliner. Except you.
Oh, Art.
Except me. Yeah.
It's entertaining, but it's not really a headline.
Okay, on you go, Dirk.
Yeah, my headliner is San Carlos Hires, Dutch manager with big track record. I was managing in Fiji last week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Fiji. And then I went to Cuba, but there was a mistake with the database in Cuba, so I quit after one season. I'll get to that later. And then after being without a job for a year, got hired by a Costa Rican second division side, San Carlos. And when I got hired by them, I got like 13 trophies to my name, so I'm kind of like trying to win more now. I'm in 2022. I already won my 14 trophies. So. Trophies are coming. I'm a good manager.
It's like he's looking into the mirror and just like reassuring himself.
I got hired in the second division of San Carlos and I got promoted. I only lost one game all season. I went 41 matches unbeaten. 41.
Still sounds like you're convincing yourself.
In my first season, if you go 41 games unbeaten in your first season, that's good. And you're a good manager.
Trophies are coming. I am a good manager. Trophies are coming. I am a good manager.
It's my mantra.
The Rain Man. Anyway, for me,
I already got more trophies than more people will get in their entire save. So.
For me, I've managed to pick up the Champions League after defeating Man U. Oh God, what was the score with Man U? Totally not looking it up right now. Beat Man U in the final. It was a really difficult. I think it was a really difficult final.
Yeah, so just waiting.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find the score. It was. I remember it being like really dramatic when I got a penalty.
God forbid you have to remember two numbers.
God forbid, it's almost like I've been playing a lot. Yeah, I won 3-2 thanks to a dodgy penalty that I shouldn't have got. Because Dybala, whatever, Anyway, he continues to be my nemesis of this game, just like Gareth Bale was the last game. And he put them 2-0 up, and then it was 2 each going on to like 79 minutes, and Erdal took it by, not Shaw came off for Daily Blind, and yeah, got me a penalty. And then for the European Super Cup, Andrew Robertson just got sent off like 20 minutes in, and then Carlos Vela was like, nah, we need to win this cup for the manager, who I love like a father, and just dominated, despite Lewandowski pulling two back for them late in the game.
20 minutes red card. I had one after 20 seconds the other day.
In a Super Cup final against Bayern Munich?
No, in a game against Saprissa.
Ah, see, that's comparable.
It kind of was. I went 1-0 down, and then I won 4-1, so.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I guess it's been everyone's been winning trophies. I've won 7 trophies and 2 trebles in the last 2.5 seasons. I've had quite an illustrious career since I left Glasses United in Gibraltar, where I got sacked for complaining to the board, but kind of landed on my feet. I loaded up San Marino and the Faroe Islands, and I managed to win the treble with Tre Fiore, which is I would say they're one of the better teams in San Marino, but you know, it's a very difficult league system in the San Marinese league, because you have two groups and then you have an amazing amount of playoff matches, and it's just so confusing. But I won all of it. I won the San Marinese league. I won the cup. I won the Super Cup. And I won manager of the season, so there was nothing else to win. So I made my way over to the Faroe Islands, where I took over Havnar Boltafag, which are HB. I won the league twice. The first season I came in about halfway through, they were fifth in the table, and then I catapulted them to the top. But I decided to stay on another season and complete the treble, so I won the league, the cup, and the Super Cup. And then I resigned, just like that.
Going out on a high.
Going out on a high, yeah. 2 trebles in 2 seasons. It's not bad at all.
Meanwhile, Chris is probably getting sacked from Fiorentina tonight. But weak analysis, David seems bleak would be a word.
It's just very difficult. So I moved from HB to Malta. I'm now managing Berkerkara in Malta, and it's quite a difficult league.
But is that because this is the first time in your save you're managing a team that isn't supposed to be one of the top 2 teams?
Well, like, not really. I think Berkerkara have a good reputation in Europe. I mean,
It came to my attention that usually when you go to one of those, like the Faroe Islands, and what was the one you went before?
San Marino.
Marino, you're always one of the top 2 teams.
Malta is quite difficult. Valletta seem to be bossing the league, but you have teams like Sliema Wanderers, Hibernians, Floriana. They're all very difficult, and I mean, the standard of Maltese football isn't great. You have pretty bad funds, you don't really have great players you can scout, and I think the league is quite difficult as well, because you play the first period and then the second period. The first period is playing all the teams twice, home and away, and then the second period you play the teams once, but your points tally gets halved and rounded, so you could have a 6-point lead cut to 3 points because of this rule, and it's absolutely ridiculous. We're currently fourth in the league, so still have a lot to do. We can't get a good run going, which is annoying. We've seemed to win matches and then lose matches the next time. But yeah, I'm going to try and turn the ship around.
Seems very like the Argentinian league, the way that it's like in stages and odd.
It's kind of strange, yeah. I really don't see the benefit of it, but yeah.
Bringing things back to sunny Glasgow, I'm getting to that stage where I'm just steamrolling through, but sadly the transfer window has not been kind to me. with Liverpool and Chelsea stealing two key players in my system, it's going to be difficult while I'm bleeding in the new recruits to replace them. I'm also sadly getting to the stage where Kasper Schmeichel is kind of getting to the old side and not as quality as he was season two. So I'm probably going to have to sell him on in the January window or keep him as a third choice because my backup's getting equal in stats with him now. So sad days. But you never know. I'm aiming for invincibles this season. Let's see if I can do it.
Won't be that hard with
Celtic. So, I remembered. I won the Oceania Champions League 2 weeks ago. Last week I was in Cuba. I went to Cuba, Che Guevara, and I got second place in the league, which meant I qualified for the preliminary rounds of the Caribbean Champions League. However, due to a mistake in the database, I got taken out of the Cuban League and got put into the Caribbean Champions League, and I only had matches there. I couldn't get back into the league until next season, so I kind of left them. Went without a job for a year. Then got signed by San Carlos, and everything went smoothly from then. So I'm now 1 point behind first place in the Costa Rican First Division, so it means I'm pretty close to qualifying for the playoff stage of the opening stage. So maybe I can get into the North American Champions League soon. And I'm also getting my badges, so who knows, there might be even a small jump up to Mexico because I'm on my Continental B license now, I guess. So it's going to be an interesting week coming on.
Excuse me?
You can just sense the enthusiasm from Darren.
No, I don't know where that yawn came from.
It's probably Darren got Fiverr.
Darren got Fiverr?
Yeah, how do you call it in English? Hold on.
Fiverr means like a £5 note.
No, hold on.
Fever?
Wait.
I just sense this roast is going nowhere, so let's move on to transfers.
I'm translating it.
For me, the two transfers I mentioned earlier was Lukas Zahovic, who's been a backup but stepped into the breach when Carlos Vela was injured last season. Had to sell him to Liverpool for $14 million. Don't care. Anyway, and my right back, Tim Dyper, who you might remember, David, you seemed to enjoy him the first time he got player of the week. After a tremendous run in Europe, Chelsea came in, hit his release clause for 30. But it's like, because I owe some money to the team I got him for, it's closer to 29.
Why did you have to sell Zahovic for only 14 million?
Because his release clause was 16 and he was getting pissy if I didn't sell him.
Do you not offer him a new deal?
I had a player who was pissed I didn't sell him, and then after a few weeks, they were like, oh, he's happy now to stay. So I'm like, okay.
I had that quite a lot with HB.
I just like keeping my players really happy, and I've got a Scottish youngster that I can put onto the bench.
That's only one player, though. It's not going to influence the whole team. I mean,
it happened with me, and then they were like,
If you sell him, we'll be a weakened side, and then they just agree with you. It's simple.
And they're like, oh yeah, we haven't looked at it that way, and I'm like, bitch, are you retarded or what?
Yeah.
We sell our best player. You want me to sell our best player. You're not like, well, that would leave us with a weakened side.
Yeah. He's not my best player. Like I said, he's kind of top three. Dyper I had to because they hit the release clause. But
I had a strike. He was my best striker, and they said like, hey, you got 360,000... I don't know, Costa Rican dollars or whatever they pay with Costa Rican pesos. I'm like, yeah, sure, take him. I had like five strikers with at least 3.5-star current ability.
Yeah, and that's the position I'm in with Zahovic. I've got someone who's a full star below him and much younger, but this season he's going to be not as good. I'm going to be a weaker side this season, but he'll step into the shoes. I've got a lot of replacements. I just need to bleed in this season. So I'm not going to be as dominant as I was halfway through last season.
Alright.
You guys have got a lot, so...
Yeah, I'll go... let David go first. We'll save the best for last.
Fair enough. Just a few I was combing through on FM. Mario Balotelli went to Sassuolo on a free transfer. Sassuolo were relegated to Serie B, but managed to sign Balotelli once they got promoted to Serie A again. Wayne Rooney actually moved to Shakhtar Donetsk on a year-long loan in 2017.
What?
I've never seen anything like it. On a loan for 12 months to Ukraine. And they were paying 100% of his wages, too. It was quite odd. Mohamed Salah went to Barcelona from Roma for $36.5 million. And the weirdest one was John Guidetti moving to Liverpool for £45 million.
Yeah, that's the highest I've ever seen him get transferred for.
That's ridiculous. Have you seen them during the Euros this year?
Yeah, he had a horrible injury that made him shit. He was a good player at Feyenoord. I'm willing to admit that.
But I mean, he's not worth $45 million.
No, but neither is Mané, and they'll still pay it anyway.
I know,
so.
It's just the Liverpool way. They're trying to be Real Madrid, but they're signing mediocre players.
They're like the poor man's Real Madrid, at least, but they got a lot of money. So, I had some pretty big...
The poor man's Real Madrid with a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, Real Madrid overpays for good players, and they overpay for mediocre players.
See, that makes sense, but the poor man's Real Madrid with a lot of...
I know, I went there, and I was like...
It's so oxymoronic, it's unbelievable.
I'm like, this is going to shamble, should I quit? And I'm like, no, I never quit.
You would expect us just to leave that alone.
don't back up. If you back out, they can smell your fear. I got some interesting transfers. A lot of big money transfers as well, you know. I don't have the leaks loaded up, so I'm not used to seeing a lot of those transfers, but some of them were pretty well. Going from United to Real Madrid on a free, and he became actually one of their best players in his first season. He had 13 goals and 13 assists, and he was actually he's actually still a regular in their team.
That's actually weird, because Juan Mata actually moved to Barcelona in my save.
I think he's still a Man U for me. I played against him in the final.
Then I got Matija Nastasic, who went from Schalke to Bayern Munich for 45 million quid.
Is this euro or pound sterling?
Now pounds.
So the Brexit devaluation seems to be in effect?
Yeah, or is it euros? No, it's euros. It's euros.
Oh, right.
So it's about 37 million quid. Then I had Mauro Icardi going from Inter to Arsenal for 62 million euros, which is basically 55 million quid-ish. Seems like a big money transfer for Wenger. And I had Kingsley Coman going from Spurs to City for 86 million euros, which is the highest transfer value I think I've ever seen in the game.
Typical English league, though. Interesting
manager. I had an interesting manager watch. Hold on. I need to look up his name. Because... Ralf Rangnick got promoted with Leipzig on my game, right? The season after, he got hired as the Germany manager, which he held on to for 8 years. Then he got replaced by Jurgen Klopp from Liverpool, and then Ralf Rangnick became the Liverpool manager.
What?
It's quite weird.
Yeah, I feel like the manager appointments in mine are like a lot more sane than most people's.
Yeah, but he became the German manager after getting promoted with Rasenball Sport Leipzig.
McAnally is somehow still the Scotland manager. He's managed to take us down in the rankings despite like our coefficient and our regens being pretty good.
Yes, I just saw Conte is now managing Juventus.
Shocker.
I know, it's not that shocking, but still, I thought he would have gone somewhere more adventurous.
Conte. Conte's never leaves Italy or an Italian team in massives.
Well, we'll see what happens in FM17 with Chelsea. I think he'll do very well at Chelsea.
In real life, I think he will. I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. In real life, I think he'll do a good job.
I think he'll suffer the curse of Chelsea managers in FM. Always sacked. Always. But, speaking of untimely ends... Oh, God damn it, what is it with me today? The final eight, guys. Who's your backing this? Who's your backing at this stage?
I think it's going to be interesting. It depends on...
Such a good, decisive answer there.
I'm sitting on the fence, but I'm just saying that I'm not really sure.
France or Italy? Whoever wins that semi-final is going to win it.
Italy. All the way.
Italy do look good this season. I think Italy might...
looks way better than I expected, but that's typically Conte. And France, I kind of hope France will win it because it's good for my pool and I still got a chance of winning a lot of money. I don't think one of, you know, you got one side of the group of the teams with only teams that never won the Euros, and Belgium might have a shot at it, but I can see them bottle it against Wales as well.
No, I think Belgium will go through. They'll play Poland in the semis and then beat Poland to make it to the final.
Poland is a tough team.
They are a tough team. They'll definitely show what they're made of against Portugal. I think Portugal are devilishly lucky to get to the last day.
I was like, well, Poland got Milik, but then I was like, well, Belgium got Vermaelen, Alderweireld, and Vertonghen. What I said about Belgium the other day, they got a lot of yellow cards, and that's going to break them up.
They might do, yeah, but I still...
Maybe against Poland, or maybe in the final.
They seem to have good depth in their squad, though. I think they might do it against... It depends if Lewandowski turns up.
It's not good if you have to change, like three or four players, because they will lose the fluentness of your team.
I know they will, I know, yeah.
If you take a look at Dries Mertens yesterday, Dries Mertens got the nod yesterday, but Wilmots, the national manager of Belgium, he's been the national manager for 51 matches, right? It was his 51st match yesterday, and he played 51 different lineups. And I think that might break him up at some point, because you could tell yesterday, Dries Mertens got the nod over who, but... He was trying to force stuff to happen, and that wasn't really good for the team, and that's why they only got better after he went out, because you get nervous players on the pitch.
Well,
if you keep changing your lineup so right now I'm still gonna say France.
Right, so we've got France, I'm back in Italy. David, gonna need an answer for you to close off
the
show.
I can see Italy making it to the final against Belgium, but it might be Belgium's turn to win a Euros. That's a very ambitious bet, but I think Belgium might do it this year.
So we'll see who gets the closest, and we will call it here, because I know we're all excited to see Iceland win. So joining me this week has been Dirk.
Thank you.
And David.
Yeah, cheers.
For a surprisingly civil episode 13, thank you all for joining us.
Can I sign off with a Nazi salute next time?
You can do it next time, but I don't care about next time than now, because I am so tired all of a sudden. I think I need to take some medicine. Anyway, thank you all for joining us for episode 13, and everybody cross your fingers and pray for Iceland.